What's happening? Thank you so much for being here. I am Chris, and this is the world famous Cool Cars with Chris, man. On today's fantastic episode, I took a little road trip up to Courage's house to do this episode from the backyard. Yes, we are live from the backyard at Courage's house because today I had something special to show him in person, and that thing is actually a cool car. Yes, I got myself a very cool car of my very own, and I took him for a ride in that cool car. So you'll hear his thoughts on the cool car, and we'll discuss what this car is on this episode. And, you know, he's working on that little, like, project mini bike, miniature motorcycle. Well, I had a chance to take it for a ride. I took it for a little spin around the neighborhood. You'll hear about that on this episode. And topping it off, we are answering your questions. And the question that came in was, what is the ultimate canyon car? What is a canyon car? Can any car be a canyon car? Well, I don't know. Find out on this episode. Let's go. Hey, what's happening? This is Cool Cars with Chris coming to you live back from Courage's backyard. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to have you up here in the boondocks, I like to call it, up here.
Up here in Temecula. Man, what's it like up here? It feels hot today. Was it normally hot like this all the time?
No. We really, with the sweet spot usually is this time of year. It's usually a lot nicer. Like you peak at like, you know, 75 or so. But I mean, this last couple of weeks and going into next week is supposed to just be in the 90s consistently. But today, 81, like I'll take it. Like it's been decent.
Yeah. Well, we are having a weird like early summer right now. It's pretty crazy. So, but I did come all the way up here and show you the brand new, this is going to be hot take. It's a hot news, hot off the press. I picked up a cool car of my very own. And we like to tell everybody what I picked up.
Yeah. I know we've talked about some different, you know, different cars and different dream cars and ones that you want to have again, but the 370Z exists. The cool cars with Chris ride, and I got a chance to check it out.
That's it, man. The brand new to me, not new, but new to me, 370Z. And the Z is back, baby. We are back in the Z. Wow, it feels good to be home, man. It feels like, man, I miss this car, you know? Yeah. Like, I miss it so much. I had the other one, and, you know, the Z car in general, I've always loved the Z32. I knew a lot of people had the Z31. Mm-hmm. My sister had the Z31. Friends from school had the Z31. I love that one. And, of course, the Z32 is iconic.
Yeah.
You had the Z32.
Z32, love that car.
Yeah, it's I remember seeing it in movies. There was a few movies that had the Z32.
Yeah.
And
have you ever seen Good Burger?
No. I've seen clips of it, though.
Yeah, weirdly enough, it took me years to find out that was actually like the hero car in Good Burger of like all the random movies. I found out other ones, but yeah, like the whole like Good Burger, Keenan and Kel like type thing. They had a red, like gloss red, and it was a 2+2 as well. Like it wasn't even like a turbo model. It was, and so that even was even cooler.
Wait, was yours a 2+2?
Mine was a 2+2.
So you had
a
back seat, nothing?
I had back seats for, I won't even say, some people make the joke of like back seats for legless passengers. Like people fit back there.
Well, you know, it's funny. The Mustang's kind of the same way too. Like the Mustang has got a back seat, but like when I drive the thing, mm-hmm. I have to be like seat near the back where there is no leg room. Yeah. But I noticed on some modern like modern like pony cars really is that the back seat like slants, so you're sitting at an angle. And that way, your feet kind of like,
they're not straight out. Like they're kind of.
Right. Especially because the back roof kind of like slopes down, you know, usually. So, like, if it was normal, if you were sitting flat across, like you'd be like this, you can't see, but like, you know, your head would be ducking underneath the roof line.
And a lot of those, actually, those 90s cars, particularly, the seat was actually kind of like, so you sit into the seat. So it's not flat. it actually kind of like, it's like a bucket seat, literally, like that you sit
down
in.
Right.
You sink down in it. And I think that's another reason that they did that, so that your legs aren't going straight out, but they're actually kind of like, you're bringing your legs up a little bit to fit in the seat a little better. But it's, I've noticed that in like the Supras, they had like the back seats, the Supra didn't have it. The first gen or the Mark III Supras, they have back seats, and then those were like the concave seats. The Z had it, and that was just their way of, I guess, being able to potentially fit somebody back there. But, you know, you didn't want to be back there for a long period of time.
No, I remember when I had my Nissan Frontier pickup truck, it had technically a back seat to it. It was the extra, yeah. It was called the King Cab. It didn't have the four-door, but it was like the suicide door that pops out.
Yeah.
And had space for a briefcase. But it had to have two little, like, flat, like, seats. I don't think they folded down or not. If I'm trying to remember if they did. They might have. Anyways, I've sat four adults in that truck, you know, but it was like I had to move my seat towards the front much as I could because there was no slope back. There was a straight wall.
It was just a seat, yeah.
A straight, like an L-shaped seat, really.
Yeah.
And so not a lot of space in those things. But we took it up to Knott's Berry Farm. I remember four of us went up there in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyways, the Z is back. I've got the Z, and it runs great. I won't say I got a really good deal on the Z. I mean, I probably paid about average price for the Z.
Yeah.
Those cars are kind of weird because sometimes you'll see some that are like as low as $10,000, probably salvaged title and beat up, to like a, you know, mint condition Nismo for like $30,000 and above.
Yeah.
So it kind of runs the gamut. At first, I was looking at 350s. And then I was like, you know what? If I can find a good condition 370 that's priced about right, then maybe I'll probably do that.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. We got a fun little deal. My little guys are around. This is the fun thing about doing this in our backyard. my little guys kind of hanging around.
You know, podcasting from the backyard. That's the nice thing about this little gear I have. I brought here is that we can do podcasting.
Do it everywhere,
anywhere. And in fact, we're going to be doing it from somewhere special coming up. Find out. We're not going to tell you right now, but coming soon, we're going to do some live podcast recording.
Yeah.
And we're going to do video too. And it's going to be full production. You know, got the production team in the works.
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully not the little guys. Once he gets a little older, it'd be cool to take him out to an event like that for sure. But funny little tidbit is my little guy, he has two movies that he's crazy about.
Oh, yeah. What movies are those?
Will get his attention no matter what. Too Fast, Too Furious is
the
first one. And I think we probably talked about this. I'm pretty sure it's like all of the colors, like that they were heavy on like the neon lights and all the colors of the cars and everything. But he also really loves Herbie. The
remake or the original?
The remake, the Lindsay Lohan special.
I never saw that. I remember seeing that when it came out, like hearing about it and stuff. I never, that was when she was in her hot phase of like hitting all those movies. It was like Mean Girls, that movie, whatever else she did. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never saw that. I remember seeing some bits of the originals.
Yeah.
Disney, I think it was maybe.
Yeah.
Back in the day when
and like
Disney.
And the Love Bug, like they had that movie.
Wasn't that the same thing?
I think they did have another Herbie. But yeah, I think the Love Bug, I guess, was like kind of like both the inspiration for both, I guess, or whatever. Because they have both on Disney Plus now.
Oh, Disney Plus has everything.
No, yeah.
I mean, everything is Disney related. It's almost too much though, too. It's like when you go sit down and see a movie on Disney Plus or Netflix or whatever, just scrolling through the thing. Like, what do you want to watch?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't feel like, you know, I don't know what I'm in the mood for.
Overload. But
it is.
But back to the Z though, because I want to get your impressions now of, you know, having had the car and driven it. And obviously you had one before, like, you know, how's the comparison of the two? But
what's funny is that my first Z and this Z were the exact same color.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
You would think that like maybe they didn't sell many color choices, but they did, you know, which is kind of ironic. So this one, I mean, obviously they're different cars. I mean, same car, but different, so to speak. The first Z, I really, really enjoyed it because I, like I said, I've always loved Z cars.
Yeah.
And it was a chance I picked it up in a different time in my life than it is today, obviously.
Yeah.
Not much different though, but I did have like when I bought the first Z, I bought it because I wanted a Z. Like I just wanted to have, I never had one. I wanted a sports car. People called it a midlife crisis back then. People are calling it a midlife crisis again today.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, they feel different. I mean, you know, I mean, they're different cars, but not really, though, you know, because they drive very similar to each other, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The other one I had was pretty much stock. Like, it had nothing done to the car at all other than wheels and bigger tires. And I think that was pretty much all it had done. Then I did the exhaust on it, full X-pipe and full dual exhaust X-pipe on the other car.
Which this one is, maybe I'm dropping a little hint, but this one maybe getting a similar treatment pretty soon.
Oh, definitely. In fact, as we record this, tomorrow I'm taking it into the shop and we're going to do a full X-pipe, dual exhaust X-pipe mode of the thing. And because right now all it has is the axle back system on the car, which is basically you go from your rear axle on the vehicle, and because your mufflers go from where the cats are, which are probably, you know, closer to the transmission up front of the car. So from there all the way back to the back axle is pretty much stock. Yeah. And it's kind of messed up, to tell you the truth, because there have been a lot of scrapes and bumps and things on that car. The undercarriage of this new car, not the prettiest sight to see. So it needs to be fixed anyways. I'm like, well, if I'm going to fix the exhaust, I might as well just rip it out and put a full-on like system that I want.
Yeah.
So the full-on X-pipe and dual exhaust is going to be happening in the brand new Z. But it still sounds okay, I think, even for just having the axle back.
Yeah.
It sounds okay.
You know,
it could sound better.
You get a little bit more, like, you haven't driven in it with you. You get a little bit more of the induction noise. Like,
oh, you think you hear the more of the intake sound?
Not necessarily, like, I think you do get a little bit of that, but you do hear, like, just that movement of, like, the air into the, you hear more of the engine, but in a good way. Because, sounds like a Z in that way.
Those engines, like, I love the VQ engines. They sound great. They rev great.
Yeah.
They've got power, a lot of mid-range power. You know, I think in my opinion, personal opinion here, hot take here, I think it's one of the best V6 engines ever made. Like ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a few out there. People say, well, this car, but like V6 naturally aspirated engines, I think it's gotta be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Because if you
would have said six cylinder, generally speaking, I'm sure there's some Porsche guys that are going to fight you on that. But when you're talking V6s,
those are V engines.
No, they're straight. Yeah.
Or straight sixes are different, or flat fours, or flat, or flat sixes that they use in the Porsches.
Yeah.
You know, those aren't the same thing. I mean, it's not like V6 engines. I think it's,
that's a solid argument. Like,
yeah, the VQ has got to be one of the best V6 engines ever made. Just durability, power, sound. Like they really over-engineered it pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
using pretty much the same formula for, you know, two, almost three decades, really.
It is an older engine. They don't make it anymore. Like that engine is done. They don't make any new VQ engines, but there's so many out there. Yeah. Like I could see people using these VQ engines for all kinds of different things. I mean, people engine swap everything. I've seen people engine swap 370s with like Hellcat engines or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you can do whatever you want. I think the ones that drift, the people that do the drifting versions of that car, they rip that engine out and they put something big in like a V8 or something, supercharged, turbocharged, whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, the Z is back. It is, what color are you? I think it's called like a metallic gunmetal gray, I think what you call it. I don't think it's not quite gray. It's not quite silver.
Yeah, it's on the dark, like from what I saw, like on the darker side, like of that. Like I think gunmetal, I'm sure they got like some interesting like color code or whatever, like name from the factory that they have. I'm not one of those that knows colors all by the names, but it's a really cool color, especially like in the afternoon time frame where you get it, even when you pulled up, like you hit it, you see it in a certain light, and it's got a darkness to it, but then you start to see some of the light come out a little bit more in it. But It's fitting. And I like it with the silver wheels, too. Like, the combination of the two.
Well, my old one had the silver wheels. Old one had, like, the chromium kind of silver. More like chromish kind of wheels it had. I forget what kind of wheels it had on the other car.
Yeah.
But they were 19s. I remember the old car. And this one has 18s in their stock. They're kind of like a darker color wheel, I guess you call in there.
Yeah.
But it does have, like, bigger brakes.
This was what we were talking about a little bit of, like, curious. Well, I'm pretty sure they probably aren't stock, but it's got some pretty beefy brakes, like, you know, size-wise, and slotted and drilled, too. Like,
that's not stock. Brake. Those are not stock. I can tell you, those are not stock wheel. I mean, the wheels are stock, but the brakes are definitely not stock on the car. And they still stop fine, you know. I mean, I haven't really pushed it hard in the canyons or like that, but from what I can tell,
yeah,
you know, no squeaks, no issues, no rattles, no... shakes or something like that. When I brake, it drives fine.
Yeah.
The car runs fine, you know. The only thing I'm really worried about is that with my other car, the slave cylinder for the clutch went out on the other car. And I'm worried about this one too, because it does have high miles and stuff. But the part of me was thinking, like, well, maybe we went out on the last guy, and maybe the last guy already fixed it. That's what I thought, because this has more miles than my other car did. And I'm thinking, like, well, the other car had those issues at this mileage point. This car has more miles than that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's already had those issues and somebody else fixed it. But the problem is, it's not even in the Carfax. I look in the Carfax, and it doesn't even like show those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, then maybe they didn't happen. Yeah. So what I did buy the car is I had it taken to a mechanic before, a third party mechanic, not a mechanic that the place I bought it from knows, but a third party has no skin in the game.
Yeah.
Not trying to sell the car like that. So I took it there. I said, do an inspection on the car. You know, I did paid the full pre-purchase inspection. So he checked it over, checked everything out. I said, the car runs fine. The engine has no leaks. The coolant's got no leaks, no oil leaks, or like that. You know, but he did say there's a lot of damage on the bottom, a lot of scraped dents, things like that on the bottom of the car.
Yeah.
Which happens in lower cars. I mean, if you have a lowered car and you drive a car that's lowered, there's a good chance you scrape something.
Yeah.
Or hit something, hit a bump, speed bump, whatever. And of course, the exhaust is kind of dinged up under the bottom or two. There's some scrapes, maybe even holes in the flex pipe where there's some joints where
right in the joint. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I'm getting the exhaust. I mean, I want to get the exhaust in anyways.
Just in general, but.
But this is a good excuse to do.
Yeah.
You know, get that fixed up anyway. So I'm like, might as well just get the whole thing redone. I think we do work remodel a house. You got to do something in the kitchen. Like, well, might as well
the whole. It's why you're doing it.
So. Right. Might as well fix this other stuff too.
One thing I was gonna say about the slave cylinder, which unfortunately is like not one of those things where you can just go and like say replace it just because you want to, like, you know, replace an air filter. Like, it's not as simple as that. Like, usually people aren't like just replacing the slave cylinder because like it's gonna, you know, because it's like, oh yeah, you might as well do that type thing. So it's unfortunate that that's something that you can't really like track to see if it's been done already type thing. But
right. I mean, well, the coloring, that's what I think about maybe getting it flushed out, because the coloring is a little darker, not too dark, but I did buy some brake fluid .3 to like top it off, make sure it's filled up correctly. I mean, that's one thing. And I guess if it did go out on me, I guess I could top it off and try to pump the clutch, get enough pressure to use it to get down the road, which I did the last time I went out.
Yeah.
But the last time I went out, like, I didn't feel nothing. I wasn't prepared. I was at Costco. And we just got, like, some dinner to cook at home, some frozen dinner. It was, like, I think we got the Alfredo, which is, like, in the frozen, like, the ready-to-cook section.
Yeah.
So it's in the back of the car, you know, a few other things. And I'm just leaving Costco and, like, use the clutch pedal. And all of a sudden, like, it went down to the floor. And I'm like, well, that's odd. Why is it not? That's weird. Like, I put it down the floor, shifted in gear. It wouldn't shift. It was like grind. I'm like, what is going on with this thing? That doesn't seem right. And then I realized that as I pulled the clutch back up and tried it again, it wouldn't do it. The clutch is out. Like, it dawned on me the clutch is out. So I kind of like shoved it in gear, like grinded it to get into a gear. Got through a intersection.
Yeah. Did you have to run a light or run a stop sign?
I'm trying to remember if I did or not. I think it was green to go, but it was like it was traffic on the left side because people get on the freeway. So I got on the right side of those guys to get around them.
Yeah.
To get through the green. And then I think, you know, I didn't run a red light, but the next intersection, there was like a big parking lot for the trolley because it was near the trolley center.
Yeah.
So I pulled into the trolley center parking lot. It was a big open space, parked like right in the middle of the parking lot practically. Stopped the car, killed it, shut it off, checked the hood, and like under the car was all the fluid. The slave cylinders all on the ground. The little like reservoir was like completely drained, empty. That's what made me thinking that if I had the reserve, if I have like a canister of
you
it.
You could probably,
top it off and maybe pump it enough to get enough pressure to like use the clutch. I'm not sure. I never had that situation, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. But that's like the big thing I'm kind of like worried about, I guess, with a car. And the car does have some weird noise in the transmission. And it has a weird clunk it makes. I can't figure this out. There's a weird clunk. When you shift, I'm trying to research this. When you shift and land the gear, it makes like a, they call it a drivetrain lash.
Yeah. Do you feel it more towards like the back, like what the differential, like does it feel like it's coming more from the,
because
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's slack in the drivetrain. Maybe it's bushings. Maybe it's an older car. I have no idea.
One thing I was going to comment on, because you mentioned kind of like the you kind of hear like the transmission a little bit, like a little bit of the transmission chatter a little bit. And I kind of noticed it. But that was something that I've heard on, and that is pretty common on those too, that actually really isn't like an issue, surprisingly.
Well, it sounds like an issue to me.
It sounds weird because even my car does it, even with the automatic transmission, it's kind of loud. But I was researching it back in the day, actually, when I had my Z, and people were saying, yeah, like actually this is like, it's common. And like, you know, as long as you're like, you know, as long as your fluid's fine, like usually you don't have any issues. But it definitely, obviously, if your mechanic tells you something otherwise, but
well, he did write up in the report that the transmission makes a noise, like noise or whatever. That's when he wrote up. But you know, I mean, other than that, well, I did ask the mechanic. I said, "What do you think about this car? Should I buy it? Like, would you buy it? Was it worth buying?" Because that's like the main thing really you care about. Really, when the mechanic does a full inspection, you want to make sure it's worth buying.
Yeah.
Because if he says it's not worth buying, I'd be like, "Well, I'm not gonna buy the thing." If he said, "Well, it's a freaking bucket of bolts. Don't buy it."
Yeah.
Like if it was a Range Rover with 200,000 miles on it and you know it's got every check engine light on the dash on the board, he'd probably tell you stay away from this car or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, the thing was, main thing also too, if I want to make sure it ran all the codes, he plugged it in to the OBD2 scanner.
Yeah.
Or whatever the better one they have, because they run smog checks there and all that stuff there.
Yeah.
And he said he ran like a sample test of like 300 starts or something like that. And or the last 300 starts. And there was no check engine lights at all in the last 300 cycles or whatever he said.
That's good. I didn't know it was really like a test that you could do. That's a good test, actually.
Yeah, I think, so that's good then. And my main concern was with the fact they had the modifications and I didn't know if it had a tune or not in the car.
Yeah.
Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. And so I'm kind of like, well, I would take it this place, have them, you know, that's what I've told the mechanic, is to make sure that there were no, like, tunes or anything I have to worry about or skeletons or any issues or that kind of stuff. Run the codes, run all the stuff. And he said, ran out fine, came out fine, everything's fine. So even 300 cycles back, what you think about, it's probably about, I mean, in real, you know, data, what is it like? How many starts do you think we do in a car in an average week? At least 5, 1 to work, 1 back.
Yeah.
Probably.
When a day, yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I can't do the math on this real quick, but probably 300 is probably about a couple weeks worth, maybe 1 month.
I would think so, yeah.
Maybe a month's worth of starting the car.
If you weren't driving, if like something like that being maybe more, like unless they were daily. Like if they were daily.
I think they were. Because the miles kind of add up. At first, I was like, the miles seem like a lot of miles. But then if you look at the math on it, you figure out like, well, it really comes out to like 12 or 10,000 miles a year.
Which is average.
Yeah, average or less than average, really. I mean, because you live up here, you probably do way more than that in your car.
About 15, 16 maybe.
Yeah, because I was doing 15 on my first truck. I think it was 14, 15, but I was taking it everywhere. Disneyland every weekend, you know, desert trips, like Vegas trips all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't plan, like, I seriously don't plan on doing more than 20,000 miles in this car.
Yeah.
I mean, or might just keep it forever. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's early to say what I'm going to do with this car, but I don't plan on taking it and driving it more than like maybe 7,000 a year, maybe 5,000 a year, 7,000 a year. Because that's what I did on the old car. The old Z I had, I only put in like 6,000 a year on the old car.
Yeah.
Maybe 7. Because it's like a weekend car. It's like a fun car. It's like a, I was kind of describing this too. It's like almost like as if I were to buy a Harley Davidson motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cost almost the same.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Even for used ones. So.
My neighbor's got a Harley, too.
Oh, well, for the dude, they can get like, Harleys can get like 30, 40 grand.
Yeah. I went to their showroom that they have in San Diego over off of like Moreno Boulevard over near going towards PB. Walked into the showroom and it's just like, it blew me away, like how many different types of bikes they even now. They have some like kind of more like Sportster style bikes.
Right, they're a little cheaper too. Like
a little cheaper,
like 10 grand range.
Yeah, but I suspect like those top tier. You know.
Oh yeah, you're like into the multiple thousands. You're like car. You're basically the price of a car.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I don't have a motorcycle license, and so to me, this is even more practical than a Harley.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Even though they cost they cost virtually practically the same price.
Yeah.
So it's like my version of the Harley, because nobody seems to ever give a guy grief for buying a Harley, but they seem to do it with a sports car. I'm getting lots of grief here from buying the car,
yeah.
You know, versus like if I bought a motorcycle, you guys wouldn't even care, mm-hmm. You know, even though it costs the amount of money, because the motorcycle is so impractical. Like you can't buy groceries and load on that car. You can't take passengers really safely in that car.
You don't want to be in the rain.
You can't be in the rain. I mean, you shouldn't. I mean, people do take them on long road trips, but it's not ideal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is more practical, you know.
Some of them have like the little like on the sides
saddlebags?
Yeah, like where the little compartments. Obviously, like you're not fitting a lot in there, but you got something. Versus like
there are people do they'll take like they'll go like cross country courses or like up to like Seattle or whatever during the summer, of course, not during the winter. And they'll do that like and they'll bring you know full on all the gear in a suitcase or whatever and stuff. And they have a little strap to their motorcycle. And they'll do those runs. Groups. I've heard people done that. But I've heard, like, riding that long on the motorcycle, you get sore, and you're just like, it takes a lot out of you, you know, I can imagine. But,
Not to switch gears, but I was going to say, speaking of bikes, I know being up here, you've had an opportunity to also check something
little
out.
Evil Knievel.
Little Evil Knievel bike. Mr. Chris has had a chance to, one thing we were talking about with Chris, not to out you on this, because Chris is a pretty tall guy.
I'm about 6 foot-ish.
And this is coming from a guy that's like 5'5". So I'm like, you know, Chris is a tall guy compared to me. So seeing him on the mini bike, you know, he's...
It's like a clown on like a little miniature motorcycle kind of thing.
Yeah. But you got to check out Evil Knievel bike and any impressions? I know it's not a motorcycle.
The throttle felt like I had to like almost like push the bike to get moving, you know? Yeah. And I kind of remember my dad who has a same, not the same one, but he has a mini bike too.
Yeah.
In fact, he still has it. I saw that at his place like last weekend. And I rode that thing like so long ago, but I remember kind of the same deal too. You had to kind of get it moving.
Kind of, yeah, you almost.
Once you get it rolling, once you get like up to speed, it's like cruising.
Yeah.
But like getting it to speed seems like it's kind of like play the throttle, give it full throttle, get it moving. Yeah. His did kind of something similar to that too that I remember. But we did last time I rode that thing was in the sand or like soft dirt, that kind of stuff. So it's a little different than on the pavement.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that thing can be crazy. I didn't get crazy in the thing. I didn't want to get too out of control because I don't know what this thing can do. Yeah. You know, I want to be the first one to like wreck your mini bike or die. You know,
via mini bike.
I was asking your kids to put the ramp out. You know, lay down and I'll get the flames going. Get the fire, the circle fire going, and I'll jump right through. And your kids lay down.
That's already planned. We were going to do that before you. Have to do that before you leave because
you had the big flag
for entertainment value. Streamers.
You got to get like handlebar like streamers like on the side or whatever going. Yeah.
And I'm curious when they did those in circus acts. Like, were they mini bikes or were they actual motorcycles? I've just thought about it and was picturing in my head. I'm curious.
You know, I don't know. I know when I saw the Avengers, they did a play in San Diego. It was like Avengers, you know, the Marvel Avengers Live, what they called it.
Oh, yeah.
And they had like Captain America riding a motorcycle in some of the scenes.
Yeah.
And it was like a small motorcycle like that, but it was something like you're saying like a stunt motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember if it was electric or if it was gas. I don't remember. It might have been electric.
Yeah.
But they had sound effects playing and music playing.
Yeah.
That was a crazy show, by the way. They had like all kinds of crazy stuff going on that show. It was crazy.
The Avengers on ice, but.
Well, it wasn't even on ice. It was like in the theater area at the sports arena at San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which I don't think they call it sports arena anymore. I think they call it Pechanga Arena or something.
It is, which is weird because we have Pechanga here up nearby us. Like
how fascinating.
Pechanga Casino. And so we've been there for a show kind of here and there. And, yeah, I'm not much into casinos and gambling, but
you're not? No, I haven't been in a while, man. I was going to go on last night, but I decided to watch a movie instead. But I was like, I should go hit the casino.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I thought about this because I recorded this on Sunday, and yesterday was Saturday, and it's usually packed at the casino, which makes it kind of hard to gamble because the machine or table you want to play at is usually busy.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, the odds don't matter at all. When you play at a casino, whether it's a Tuesday or a Friday, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Like you know, gambling is still gambling. The odds are exactly the same. So I'd rather play when I have a choice of a machine or a choice of a table that I can pick versus when you go there on a busy night and you have no choices, but whatever's left, the loser machine is left.
Yeah.
And you got to play that one.
Yeah.
I always see these people on Instagram. It's always a funny bit on Instagram. People say, the only machine that always guaranteed to pay out, it's the ATM machine.
Yeah. That's, yeah, no matter what, like, you'll get something from it. Like,
yeah, if you, you got to pay the fee.
The source is questionable of where it's coming from. But
I think Barona claims, my sister works there, Barona Casino claims they have no ATM fees. Because other casinos charge. This is true. Yeah, but I think your bank still charges you whatever they charge to do it.
Yeah.
I've only done it a few times. I've been up at the casino one time, and I'm like, I didn't bring any cash. I didn't plan on gambling, but I was with a girl. We're on a date or whatever, or something like that for dinner. And she's like, well, let's play a little bit. So I run to the ATM and pull out like $100 or whatever. I figure what it charges to do that, but maybe $20 to get your $100 or some ridiculous amount of money. But
yeah,
I mean, gambling, don't do this, kids, because you don't always win. I mean, it sounds fun when you do win, because I've won a few times, but I've lost a lot too. So
yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, you got to know your limits and whatnot.
Well, if you're gonna play. Play for fun. Like know that the $200 you took to the casino, you mean throw out the window. You know, it's money. It's money. It's not money you need for like groceries or whatever.
Yeah.
Or rent money or whatever. That's the worst when you blow your rent money. Because I was at the casino, man, let me tell you, I when I used to work there, my department was not allowed to play the machines because we worked with the machines.
Mm-hmm.
But the security officers were allowed to do whatever they want. And we worked with the security guards. And one security guard was a big gambler. Like, you get your paycheck. They let you cash your paycheck right there at the casino.
So dangerous.
and so he would cash his paycheck, and he would go straight to the machines after work and play.
Yeah.
And he was telling me a story. Like, one day it was payday. He cashed his check, went to the couple machines, and he was down, like, almost entire paycheck, like rent money, you know?
Yeah.
And so he played it down, and then he hit some, I don't say the jackpot, he hit something to bring it back up to where he like basically got his money back pretty much. Wow. And cashed it out. And he's like, oh,
yeah,
like literally like almost lost my rent money kind of thing. And that's kind of scary. I remember at Barona years and years and years ago, they had this program that I used to do because it was, there was a prize involved. When there's a freebie, there's a prize involved, and you think like, well, what's the catch? So the catch is that this, the event they had, it used to be called Double Your Paycheck.
Mm.
You would bring your paycheck, like an actual payday paycheck, to the casino, wait in line, and you would literally cash your paycheck, give you cash for your paycheck.
Yeah.
And then they'd spin this little wheel or draw a number or a ball or something like that, and you a choice of prizes. And everybody won something. You're guaranteed to win something.
Mm.
The bare minimum was like free buffet dinner.
Yeah.
The high end, they doubled your paycheck. So whatever your paycheck was, we'll double that.
Yeah.
Of course, we all did that, right? But the catch is, you'd be smart about it. You can't just, I got cash now, I'm going to go play in the casino, which most people do. You got to be smart about it and bounce out of there. But, I mean, my mom used to do that a lot.
Would you have the opportunity? Could you lose it? Or what?
So you could go to the casino, you cash your paycheck there at the casino.
Yeah.
You enter in the drawing.
Got it. Okay.
And so, then, but they would physically give your money for the paycheck, and they put you in the drawing.
Mm.
And one of the prizes was up to
potentially up to your double.
Double your paycheck.
Got it.
And most of the other prizes were like gift shop swag, food court vouchers, buffets.
Yeah. So you're winning something. You're walking away with your paycheck and something.
Right. Like, so I always went there to win something, and I always go there and do that all the time. My paychecks weren't very big at the time. So it was like, I always kind of sucked. But I actually did hit the jackpot one time.
Wow. Yeah.
I hit it one time. I was so excited. I hit it one time. And I remember, but it was a smaller paycheck that I think about. So it kind of sucked. But I mean, double your paycheck, it's awesome. So I got double my paycheck. And I think back then, I bought my very first. Did I buy my first digital? I might have bought my first digital camera.
Huh.
Was it that one, or might have another time I won some money at the casino? I know winning at the casino was how I bought my first digital camera.
Yeah,
it was like when digital cameras were like new-ish, the nicer ones.
Yeah,
but it could be dangerous. Gambling can be dangerous. People get really addicted to that kind of stuff, and it's sad when I see people like spend the money they don't have.
Yeah,
to gamble.
Yeah.
And they're just, in debt, and there's lots of movies on that stuff, and it can get crazy. But speaking of gambling, now that I paid the car off in cash, I could probably get my pink slip and race your pinks.
Yeah. No, you're in that level, because it would be sucky to be racing for pinks and then find, hey, I don't actually had a pink slip, but you can take on this.
Right. I take my dad. Yeah. But no, I was kind of thinking about I was telling Jacob that and Jacob's mom that when we bought his Mustang, since we paid cash for the Mustang, as we get the pink slip in the for the car, which he just got, I think she said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got the registration, I think. And so I say that you can race for pinks.
Yeah.
Because you literally have the pink slip, you can race for pinks. Yeah. Do people still do that for real?
That's another form of gambling that.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know. But I kind of wonder because, I mean, most people take loans on cars, especially newer cars and things like that. So unless like a beater, like say you've got like a 91 Civic that's modified with a turbo or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. I remember like in Fast and Furious, those cars a thing in the movie.
That was the thing. Yeah. That was what it was all about. And I know they, you know, don't condone it, but I know they have areas where they do like, you know, these like, you know, they're illegal street racing and, you know, they, you know, Texas is big for it. They had that whole boom, you know, about last decade or whatever, where they just had this whole underground, you know, Texas drag racing scene. And, you know, they had all these call outs and, you know, these like head to heads and all these kinds of things. And I suspect some people were still, you know, they had a car on the line or a massive, massive amount of money on the line, you know, in that. But would be interested to see if that's still really going on now to these days, or if you're just pulling up to some random guy on the street, like, hey.
Yeah, you'd want to know what they have under the hood or what they have and things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I just think it's kind of funny that having, well, when the pink slip comes in the mail, I'll be able to have that and say, I'd literally say I raised your pinks or whatever.
Yeah.
I had the pink slip on the other car too. Never thought about it, but it's always kind of funny. Like you can raise your pinks because you have the pink to do it.
Yeah. It's like, it's an option for me now.
Yeah. No, but I mean, we're talking older car here and I mean, I'm not trying to wreck the car. I'm not trying to destroy the car. Like I'll have some fun with the car. It's going to be like, I think it's going to be like the pace car for cool cars with Chris.
Yeah.
The new 370Z is the cool car. It, you know, it's almost kind of matches the logo of the show, like the color scheme.
Huh, I can kind of see that. Yeah.
So, I mean, I got to figure that out. But I want to figure out how to like, I don't know, use this as like a tax write-off somehow, but like, a website on the back or like QR code, maybe at least a QR code sticker on there. I got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Well, we won't do a pink slip race, but if you ever got to the point you were down for it, it would be great to get the N and the Z out to street legal.
Oh yeah,
out there, you know, nice little 330 foot, nothing crazy.
I got to have that transmission. I want to get the gear oil flush. I want to check out the transmission first.
Make sure everything's dialed. Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to break the thing up there, and then when I got to get it back somehow, you know, whatever. Because
that's
thing.
Yeah, that's a good like for you because it took you an hour to get here.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that, a little more.
So that's a good like hour and a half for you in terms of a drive. So, but yeah, if it ever happens, it'd be a nice little Cars and Chris showdown. And, you know, all we got is bragging rights between each other, I guess.
Well, you got like modern tech and turbos and tunes and things like that.
Hey,
you know?
Man, sometimes the tried and true method. Sometimes that's all it needs.
Did the car feel fast? So we go for a ride in the thing. How did it feel to you?
No, so we were talking about just the power delivery and it's, you know, Lenny, I haven't necessarily, I mean, the M has the same powertrain similarly at least, but the, you know, I've gotten so much used to the turbo powertrain where,
Turbo kicks in at what RPM?
About like 26 to 2700.
So before that, what do you feel?
Yeah, if you like, say, if you mash it at second, like, or at 2000 RPMs, like, you there'd be a lag.
But
like,
from zero to that, what do you feel? Does it feel like, you feel kind of linear, kind of like power? Does it kind of just feel like it's not doing much?
No, it gets up pretty quick. Like, even it's a smaller turbo. So even at the lower RPMs, like, you still feel it kick in. But it'll take a lot more of the boost to actually, if you're really trying to get off of the line, you can go. But, you know, your boost, my boost gauge spikes pretty quick. So, you know, sometimes when you're leaving from the light, if you don't give it enough gas, you'll kind of get a little bit of that bogged down until the boost kicks in. But if you launch it the right way, like it'll kick in pretty instantly and it pulls pretty heavy all the way up until the top. But again, like, you know, if you mash it from like, say, 3,500 RPMs, there's a little bit of a, you know, kind of builds up. And then like when you see like the boost gauge get up to like 10, 15 PSI, then it just starts to rev out. Like I feel like with the Z being in it, it was more of like it revs out, like it starts up, but it builds the whole time. Versus turbo is like maybe not a lot of build at the start, but then you just kind of have this punch. his punch.
Right, and then it's kind of imagine like a turbo lag and kind of kicks in all of a sudden, and then it kind of, you know, spools up. Yeah.
You know, yeah, smaller turbos help to not make it like super crazy, like some of the builds you see.
Oh, really?
Because you'll see some with big massive turbos, but like they'll be dead, you know, below, you know, 3,000, 4,000 RPM.
Really?
Like where you're just really not doing anything until the turbo kicks in. Like,
and then the tires just like just and lose, then, grip, yeah. lose grip and just get going.
And that's like kind of the dangerous thing if you're not ready for it, because, you know, these real high horsepower, big turbo builds is like, you know, if you underestimate how much is going to kick in when the turbo kicks in, it'll just snap, you know.
Speaking of builds, what would you do to that car? My new Z, what would you do build-wise?
If we race for pinks and I won the car, what would I be doing? That's a good question. Well, I wouldn't. The exhaust is definitely, you know, a good first step that I would probably be doing. You know, you'll probably have it done by then. But other than that, though, I some visual things, like, you know, I like the stock wheels, to be totally honest.
I kind of do too. At first, I was thinking like, I don't know, and they were smaller than the last ones I had. I'm like, I don't know.
It looks good on the stock wheels. Like, yeah. I don't really think you have to go aftermarket.
I think the color tone, too, because the color is darker color on the car and darker color on the wheels.
Yeah.
Like, almost like dark on dark. But it's not quite like, because some cars you'll see, like, black on black.
Yeah, which...
And it's black tires, too, so they got black. It's like, I don't know.
It's a hit or a miss. Some cars look really good, stealthy, black on black. You know, others, it just gets a little played out. But yeah, you know, visually, I even like the spoiler. The spoiler is aftermarket too on yours, and I like that.
Ducktail, yeah.
I would just look, probably for some power mods, just to maybe get it up a little bit more.
Well, it does have that intake in there, which I have to filter for. I have to figure out how to change the filter in the thing. It has a cold air intake, but it's like, I forget the brand is, but it kind of loops in under the bumper and connects. So the filter sits in the middle.
Yeah.
So, because on the 370s, there is a dual intake. So, it's got dual airboxes and dual intakes into the HR motor. I think on the 350, the HR mod.
The earlier ones.
The later ones. Like, well, yeah, the ones that were like the, I think, 08 maybe, had it. And so, the 370Z kind of kept that design with the dual intakes. And so, but this new custom intake I have, it's actually piped in under the bumper, and the middle of the bumper underneath there is where the big old giant air filter sits.
Yeah.
And cold air directly into the engine.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure how old the filter was or how long it's been sitting in there or even when the intake was even installed.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered the replacement filter online. Now this filter, you can wash it and reuse it. Great. I want to have one that is like, you know, in the car, and one I can pull out and then wash it while the other one's in the car.
Yeah.
It's because, like, having to wash it and dry it and wait and then put the car back and put it back and all that stuff, it's one just flip-flop, switch it out, whatever. Yeah. I mean, the filter was, I think it was like $100 with shipping for the filter.
Oh, that's not bad, yeah. It's just interesting when you showed me what the filter looks like, because I know there's certain kits that actually do it as two individual cone filters that come into the intake, but I didn't realize that, you know, that one actually is, it comes in as two paths, but then it goes into the same filter and makes like a circle.
Big giant loop or whatever. Right,
yeah.
Right, right. So
that was interesting.
According to the website, I think it adds like 15 horsepower and like 16 pounds foot of torque.
Yeah.
On the thing, which is decent, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I know those are like, you know, depends like, you know, environment, like, you know, what do you call it, temperature, like all of that. But, you know, it does help it helps the car breathe better for sure.
Yeah, they want the cold air. It burns. It has like a better combustion cold air versus the hot air.
The cool thing about it too, actually, that I didn't think about until now, is with it being underneath your bumper and up front like that, because a lot of times, like even me, like technically I have a hot air intake.
Right, it's under the hood.
Because it's still under the hood, but yours being like out, you know, still under the hood, but it's like away from the motor, and it has the separation of the bumper and everything else.
Sitting in front of the radiator.
Yeah, so it really is like out, it's outside of like that atmosphere of all the hot air under the engine bay, and so... Yeah, like truly, you know, you without going all the way down, because some people think, you know, to make it cold air, it's got to go down to the fender or somewhere like way down.
That's what I was wondering about,
like,
that too. Yeah, because it does sit up really high.
Yeah.
The filter sits literally like where the Nissan logo sits on the bumper.
So yeah, it's like right just, there.
Like right on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, how am I going to get to that? The only way to get to that to change it is to remove the entire bumper and all that stuff, remove it off. But I've been watching some YouTube video on it, and it looks like it doesn't look so hard. Of course, everything you see on YouTube, every tutorial looks like it's like, oh, all you need is like a roll of duct tape and like, you know, 2 minutes.
I've said this before, but like when it comes to getting things to fit back the way that they like getting fenders back lined up or like, you know, trim pieces. Like, I'm not good at that. Like, I mechanical stuff, I can kind of work my way around it, but that's why, you know, we talked about maybe kind of tag teaming and getting her done. But I told you like, you just got the car. I don't want to be the one that screws up the fitment on bumper.
Here I'm driving home without a bumper.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, the car.
I would hate to do that to you all the way
is
up
it
here,
even illegal? Is it legal? Are you allowed to drive without a bumper on your car?
Some people do it.
Is it allowed though?
Well, technically, I mean, I guess you can argue that you probably wouldn't have a, I know we talked about this too, but you wouldn't have a front license plate because you therefore don't have a bumper. And then technically speaking, in California at least, they could pull you over for not having a license plate and then say something about the bumper. But, you know, I've seen people drive. There was a guy down the street today with a 90s, the 3000 GT Mitsubishis.
Oh, those like kind of like a, looks similar to a 300.
Yeah, same similar body style. And he didn't have a hood. He'd have a hood on, and you know, it looked like he did it on purpose that way. And so, you know, people kind of do what
they
want
to show off their car. I get it, you know, like have the hood open or no hood or whatever. I've seen a lot of builds like that too, especially on Instagram where they have like, especially a big blower stick out of the roof, you know, out of the hood or something, you know, or big.
I've seen people
turbo.
Like just cut it, yeah, like either cut like into where the turbo is, or even how the dump pipe. Come up out of the hood. Like, I know a lot of people that do that kind of thing too. So yeah, you can Evel Knievel your car and do all those kinds of things.
I think it's just I'm gonna keep it the way it is for the most part. Maybe do a few minor things here and there. I can't imagine, like, I mean, especially here in California, like, what are you gonna do?
It's
like,
a little tough.
Yeah,
although I heard that there's all these like little posts and things, which I don't know how, I take them with a grain of salt, but that like with some of the new, like, you know, legislation has passed, that some of the harsh like California rules and stuff are starting to drop. And I've seen like big channel, like automotive channels, like post on it, like as if
there's a guy running for governor. He's the sheriff up in Riverside somewhere up here.
Mm.
I forget the guy's name, but. He just claims that if he wins, he's going to get rid of CARB.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get rid of all that stuff.
You believe that?
I don't believe he's going to win, to tell you the truth. I mean, I don't think he's going to win. People say he's winning, he's front runner for the Republican Party, but I don't think the Republican Party is going to win California, so it doesn't matter.
Mm.
So that, you know.
Dead in the water.
That's what I'm thinking. But so, I mean, I remember a while back when I had my other Z, I just got the exhaust done on the car. And they passed that like exhaust loudness. It was like no exhaust or a certain decibel or some crazy.
Oh, the decibel, yeah. Uh-huh.
That happened. They passed that. I remember they just passed that. And I was kind of worried about that. But my car was never like that loud. I mean, I've heard some Z's.
Yeah.
Like I was at a station doing a delivery and one guy drove by. Single exhaust, must have had a Tommy or something like that.
Yeah.
And I swear I heard a thing like four blocks away.
It's real easy to make those things literally like on wheels.
But why is that? why is this the way the motor is? Just, I mean, I don't know.
That's a good science experiment to kind of understand like what, you know, what makes them so shouty
Can you make any car that loud though? I mean,
you can, yeah. I mean, you know, you've seen like straight pipe like Mustangs and.
Well, I mean like a Mustang, I mean like a minivan or something. Could you make that theoretically like a minivan like loud as a Z? I don't know if you could. I think the 300 or 370Z, the engine, the VQ, is designed to scream. Designed to get loud. It's designed to go high RPM.
Yeah.
You know, it's designed for that kind of stuff.
I think regular cars, the main way you do that is probably like, I've seen like people when they're getting their exhaust changed or something, they'll like drop it from, you know, say from the cats. Just and then start the car up, just you know, just for the heck of it, and yeah, it's I mean, it sounds terrible.
I wonder if they're gonna do that with my car when they're putting it together. I don't think I'm gonna be there. I'm just gonna drop it off and maybe get an Uber or something back to the house.
Yeah,
this has to be like 4 or 5 hour job. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll just drop it off and then head back. I'm gonna try to get a video before and after.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or at least pictures or something before and after. I remember the last one I did, and when they were finished, and the guy backed out of the bay. And he backed it up this little parking spot and he revved the car and I heard it for the first time.
Yeah.
That exhaust. And it had that little bit of rasp when he got up to like, you know, 5,000, 6,000 RPM.
Yeah.
Even 7. And I was like, what? That's my car?
Yeah.
Holy crap. And driving home, it felt like a weird experience driving the car after you get the exhaust done. It's a weird experience because you're driving the thing and you're like, it sounds different than it does, and it sounds cooler. But I'm learning the sound of the car now because it feels like a totally different car.
Yeah.
Than what it did when I brought it over here today.
It's such a cool experience. I've had that experience twice now, one with the 300ZX and one when I did the muffler delete on the M a while back. And it was the same thing where it's like when you hear it for the first time, like, you know, it's just like, you know, us car guys, like we get super excited. And then,
well, you get used to your car too. If you've driven your car a while, you keep driving, you know what it sounds like. Like, especially with a manual transmission.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I just kind of shift by ear, I guess, mm-hmm. a lot, you know, and I kind of like feel with RPM it's at and shift like that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
And I think that, that helps me. But now when you get an exhaust done or a muffler delete or anything,
yeah,
it sounds different now. So you have to like, well, it sounds different now. So I have to figure out how to drive it back or whatever, that kind
You're
of stuff.
You're getting used to it. Yeah. Well, one thing I want to throw in there in the mix, if you're down for it, I know we had kind of talked about doing some questions here on the pod.
Okay.
We did kind of put some things out there and, you know, we're kind of filling it out, like seeing who gets, you know, gets some engagement here and there. We did have a few questions come in, but
okay. Okay. Yeah. What you got?
One that I thought was interesting.
We'll tag team the questions from the backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. The backyard question series.
The backyard podcast.
Bear with me as I'm going to pull this up.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, I'm thinking about changing the name of the podcast to 7,000 RPM.
Yeah. Is that your red line?
75, actually.
75? Okay.
But there's two meanings to that. Because, like, in the movie Ford versus Ferrari, 7,000 RPM was the whole, like, theme of the movie. He does this whole montage talking about 7,000 RPM when he tells, what's his name, in the second race of the movie. Mm-hmm. He says, run at 7,000 RPM. And, so 7,000 RPM. I thought that was kind of funny. I mean, 7,000 RPM. Podcast.
Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of dig that a little bit. I'm close to 7,000 RPMs in Indiana, like 68.
Is that red
69?
Line?
Yeah. Like, 6,800 stock. Some people will rev it out just a little bit more, but you kind of lose a bit of power.
Might just have rev light on the car, but you can change rev light. Uh-huh. The rev light, like, it'll flash red when it's telling you, like, shift now, idiot.
Yeah.
And I think, I remember my older car, I could change the where you want that light to come on mm-hmm. for, like, you know, like maybe. Set for 3,000 if you want, like, if your kid's driving here or whatever kind of thing or whatever. But I think it's stock set to like 7,500 or whatever. I noticed I used it. It did go off when I get closer to 7.
Yeah.
So what you got for questions?
Right on. So this one came from a buddy of mine that I met over the last couple of months. Voodoo GT350. I told folks I was going to give shout outs as we get questions coming. But he has a GT350 as well as the E-Class, the wagon, the AMG wagon. Thing's a monster, and it's like a cool spec, you know, silver.
So the Ford GT350?
So he has a Ford GT350,
The Shelby, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. And then,
God, I love that car. What's with the Voodoo engine, right?
So the 350R has the Voodoo engine. I have to double check to see if he has that one. Or,
sure it does.
Yeah, because I know they had the regular 350 that still just had, like, you know, kind of the regular motor-ish. It wasn't the flat plane, but yeah, I haven't seen this 350 actually, but I've seen his AMG a bunch, and really cool guy. He loves his dogs and has some cool stuff going on. But he asked a question that I thought would be cool to kind of take in stages. I interpreted this maybe differently than he was anticipating, but he basically was asking in terms of, you know, if you're looking for a Canyon car, which one of the, you might have your answer already kind of based on your recent purchase. But if you're looking at a Canyon car, one, you know, is it a manual or an automatic? But basically, like, he went in stages of, you know, a good 4-cylinder V6 or 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder, 10-cylinder, and 12-cylinder.
Well, let me tell you, okay, here's the thing. it all depends. Everything really depends. So I think a well-balanced car, of course, something that's really well-balanced.
Yeah.
For the Z, for example, it's like almost near 50-50, I think, weight ratio.
Yeah.
You know, that car, the Z, actually has what's called a mid-front, engine.
I know what you're talking about.
So the majority of the weight of the engine sits behind the front axle.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives a more balanced car. But as far as like cylinders go, I think probably, the thing about having a V8 or V12 or whatever, I haven't driven any Ferrari or Lamborghini, so I can't speak on this.
Yeah.
But I can imagine that they don't rev up as quick as a 4-cylinder does.
Mm.
So if you're going from the Canyons and you're going up and down the RPM range because you're going gas to brake, you know, for the turns.
Yeah.
you would think you want a car that can hit those RPMs, go from low to high pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of probably a smaller displacement, maybe.
In your Miatas, your S2000s.
I'm just thinking, yeah, something that can go from like quickly up to the rev range.
Yeah.
Back down again, back up again, versus a V8, which kind of this kind of take a little while to get. Well, it depends.
When you say that though, because I feel like for me, like V10, V8 is kind of the cutoff point to that point, like where you're still kind of in that range of you can get some kind of revvy V8s. Like I think even the Mustang V8.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I just don't know how quick it gets there.
I do agree. Yeah, like you know the four cylinders, even like you know the Z and like you know the six cylinders. Like,
but even the Z takes a while to rev up there. It's not like. You know, it's not like from, you know, 1,000 RPM up to like 7,000 RPM mm-hmm. really, really quickly. It still takes time to get up there.
Until you slap the turbochargers on it.
Oh, maybe. that's the problem right there.
But,
and as far as like stick shift, I don't know. Like, I think paddle shifters might be easier.
Yeah.
Just because your hands are already on the wheel the entire time. Mm-hmm. You kind of flick. And if it has like if the car's got a double clutch.
Yeah.
Even better.
Because mm-hmm.
you're already like, boom, in gear, you know, downshift, upshift, kind of thing.
A lot of people kind of had that argument that you don't really get that engagement with the a DCT or whatever. But I think that it's like, you know, I mean, when you look at any like, you know, racing series now, like F1 and all of that, like, you know, your true engagement, a lot of like, I mean, we love manuals and for the reason that they feel a little bit more.
Well, you've seen those manuals, those race car manuals they use that it's just like a motorcycle. I don't know what kind of manual it's called where it's like just one, you just move it up.
It's a sequential, yeah.
Yeah, like, or back.
Up and down, yeah.
Right, it's mm-hmm. like up. Yeah, one gear, and then down is like revert kind of thing.
That's an intense, you know, kind of, that's a different feeling altogether where you're still almost getting the manual, you know, shift, but
it is literally. Those clutches in those things are no clutch in those things.
Some of them do, but some of them, you know, can operate basically like, you know, like you're not having to do your foot, you know, pedal, but some of them, you're still manually.
I feel like it runs like a motorcycle. Because on a motorcycle, when you shift a motorcycle, you run the clutch in your hand.
Yeah,
and you tap it down. Oof, was it up? I think mine was down one, and like you put your foot underneath it and you pull it up for the next gear. Up, up, up.
That's interesting.
Dan.
But that you don't seems know, like easy to kind of screw up.
Well. But you don't know what gear you're in. You just kind of feel for it because you can't see what gear you're in. Obviously,
so does it automatically when you stop? Does it automatically
stall out like
it does.
Yeah, it'll stall like you would in the other vehicle.
Interesting.
You get in fourth gear, you're stopping. In fourth gear, you'll stop. You'll stall it. You know.
Yeah.
Same kind of concept. So.
No, that's interesting because I'm on a similar wavelength. I love supercars and you know I haven't driven anything above like eight cylinders, but you know I love the you know Aston Martins, the Lamborghinis, Ferraris. But I think there's a certain point where you get past like you know maybe like you know the older like you know Gallardos, like the you know the V10 Gallardos, or even like the R8. Like the R8 is actually like a really good example because they had a V8 and a V10 of that, where that maybe could be a really good canyon car, but more so for me, kind of like what you said, is the size. Like, you know, because you when you're in the canyons, you want something that's really kind of small.
Short wheelbase.
This short wheelbase, nimble. And, you know,
the
when
Corvette's
you're...
Corvette's kind of long, I think, things like that.
The C6 Corvettes and things like that. I mean, the C8 really does, you know, it's an awesome car. But the C6, I think, was a good, like, you know, good size car, like C5s, things like that. But yeah, I think really it's like the size that,
well,
you
take
know,
a
matters,
look at what
you know?
What they run at Pikes Peak. I know they run a lot of electric cars and things like that. But, like, mm-hmm. those... That literally is a canyon run for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they use any really long wheelbase for those it's kind of shorter, smaller, you know, cars.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of engine they run on those things, to tell you the truth. I haven't really followed up on Pikes Peak stuff.
Oh, yeah, all different kinds. Like you said, EVs are big.
That's why I keep seeing a lot of EV stuff.
Yeah, Hyundai got a whole thing. One of, I don't remember if it was Randy Pulse that raced with them or it was Amelia Hartford, I think. You know, one of those, you know, kind of bigger names that raced with Hyundai's team and raced the Ioniq 5N that they have for the event.
Good old N series, huh?
Yeah. They, you know, that's been some of their play now with the EV stuff. But yeah, you know, I do think though that like, you know, for canyon driving, like you want something that's really small, nimble. Like, you know, you can play around with the engine displacement. Like I love a V8. Like I feel like that's just kind of that's a good spot. But I mean, Miata S2000, you know, obviously like the hot hatches and things like that, because they're still smaller cars, you know, they feel good, you know,
and I would say also rear wheel drive on that too.
Yeah. Because, I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Honda Civic and things or old Acura Integras, those are all fun. I mean, I guess it kind of depends, you know, the thing about a car, having a cool car or any kind of car, it kind of depends on what you're going to use it for, what feels good for you, Can you drive it or not drive it? Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be surprised how many people like who cannot drive a stick shift.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like I kind of feel weird dropping the car off at any kind of shop. It's like, okay, well, you know, and they're like, look at the thing and the stick shift. Like, what do I do with this thing? You know, or what? I remember my other car, when I had in the shop getting the brakes done or something. And they said, oh, we're waiting on somebody who can drive it to like bring it around the front for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
That happened to me at the dealership the first time I took the in to the dealership. The lady was like, oh yeah, like we'll go. They were busy that morning too. And like, you know, we'll go get your car taken in and everything. And she was the one who went to go turn around and take it. And she opened the door and she said, oh, I got to go get so-and-so to bring the car up. Cause I can't.
Well, that's what I always tell everybody. My car literally is unstealable.
Yeah.
Nobody can steal my car. Yeah. Well, I got a key issue that like, you know about, but also other than the key issue, like it's unstealable.
Yeah.
Like nobody can steal that car. I feel like I leave the key. Well, I don't leave the keys in it, but like literally like
the windows down.
And yeah. Like what are they going to do? You know, then take stuff out. I don't keep anything valuable in there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a fun car. What's the next question you have? You had another question? You had two more.
There was one I wanted to kind of flesh that one out a little bit more with them. I think the biggest preface I wanted to do is kind of give that shout out because he was like on it when I first posted that. Give him a shout out. But I want to, you know, preface that as I don't know if we talked about it particularly on the pod, but for anybody listening, you know, we'll be doing those posts, you know, throughout the weeks.
100%.
And just, you know, whatever questions you got, you know, car questions, you know, interesting questions you guys want to hear. Ask them on the pod. You know, we're no experts, but we got some interesting thoughts.
And, hey, you know, and yeah. if you want to, you know, get your voice on the podcast, you can do that too. There, I believe there's a link on my website. I have to double check on this. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure there's a link on my website where you can drop a voice message or voice note. I think. I'm pretty sure there is. I have to double check on that.
And you got one of those pretty cool one a while back that I think you played on one of the
episodes. Yeah. So there's a way you can do it. And there's also ways you can do it. You know, technology today, like literally we're doing this podcast in the freaking backyard.
You
know?
Yeah.
I mean, like I never thought I would be able to do this because when I had the other, the original podcast I did was in the bedroom studio. I had to be professional and all that stuff. But being able to do this in the backyard, cars running by. And that's a nice thing about this equipment here is that like,
yeah, it's all portable. I'm sure people probably wouldn't even know your trickery in editing. People won't even notice until.
Well, I'll do my best. I'll do my best on this. I mean, no promises though, you know. But I'll do what I can because I just audio editing, you know, as a side gig and for companies and things like that. And there's some times where they don't have the best audio.
Yeah,
and I have to like do what I can with what, and I have some tools. And there's lots of tools. Mostly, you're centered around AI these days.
Yeah,
there's AI for everything now.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like AI, fine. But I'm telling you, you know, like AI is embedded in like everything we do now.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Like everything, every company, everything you do, like online, everything has got some form of AI built in somewhere.
Yeah.
So even your car probably. It's got some kind of AI.
No, I mean, that would be an interesting. You know, I've heard of some people using AI because I've talked about having the JB4 and how you can actually do custom parameters to do a custom tune map.
Oh, use AI to help you out with that?
There's some guys that use AI to basically like figure out what parameters to adjust and stuff like that. And I would not trust it that much with my car, but.
It's also funny. It's like being around tax season, there's always a joke of like, somebody walking away in handcuffs and then saying, like, using ChatGPT to do my taxes. Pull the way. Or whatever, or something like that.
You know? I trusted it. Like, they should know. Like,
or your car blows up. It's like, I used ChatGPT
to do my car.
Your whole engine blows up.
Yeah.
So, but dude, Kurt, it's been so much fun having the backyard here, doing cool cars with Chris right here at your place, man. Thanks for having me over. I really appreciate this.
Thanks for coming up. Thanks for being a little patient with us with the fam and working around
No,
that.
No, dude, it's fine, man, because I got kids too, and, you know, they're a little older now, but I remember the same deal, you know.
You can tell my little guy is like a little devious guy.
No, that's fine.
he was just waiting for his opportunity to be like, I'm gonna be a part of this.
No, it's all good, and it could be worse. I mean, gosh, I mean, it could be like squirting with a squirt gun behind the fence or something.
If it was hotter and they were playing with water, that could have definitely been an option. Oh,
definitely.
Sure,
the podcast fizzles out and goes up in flames and sparks or whatever. But hey, if you want to check us out, go to coolcarswithchris.com. Everything you want to know is right over there. I got links to all my stuff, you know, socials and all the stuff right there on the interweb. coolcarswithchris.com. And we'll see you on the very next episode.